This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
And it's 4 minutes after 12. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where I have to put aside my newly signed copy of Bad Actors by Mick Herron, which will be taking pride of place on my bookshelf a little later today, and turn my attention to the almost as compelling Mystery Hour, which is, of course, your weekly opportunity to get answers to the questions that have had you befuddled for the longest time. The way it works is this. I won't overburden you with the details, because you can work it out as we go along, and most people are going to know already. You ring in with a question that needs an answer, and then someone else rings in with the answer. The only rules, really, are that you can't look up the answer, which should be obvious, but isn't always obvious, and the reason for that is that this isn't really about the destination, it's about the journey. It's getting there that's fun. If we were going to allow Googling or whatever, then there would be no Mystery Hour, largely speaking. And also, don't be dull. What do you mean, pot kettle? 5 minutes after 12 is the time. Mystery Hour is upon us, and of course the prize remains a copy. What do you call it? It's not a copy, is it? An edition sounds a bit weird as well. An edition, it's a box, a prize. I don't know what is the kind of descriptive term for board games. A board of board games. I don't know. Not the collective noun. The descriptive. So, anyway, you get a board game, if you make the most amusing, stroke interesting contribution to the program. And my decision is final. Full terms and conditions are available at lbc.co.uk. But the board game, I've got to tell you, I mentioned Glasgow a moment ago. I didn't. I was talking to Mick off air, actually. We were talking about book festivals and book tours. And I signed one in Glasgow. A lovely bloke brought a board game for me to sign, which was nice. And the number of people coming to the book signings now who want to tell me how much they're enjoying the board game, it's hugely gratifying. It's not quite as gratifying as you might expect it to be for someone as sort of delighted with praise as I am, because I didn't have much to do with the board game. So if you love the book, that's great, because that's a part of me. If you love the board game, that's also great, because it's got, you know, we invented Mystery Hour and it's got my face on the box, but all the hard work was done by other people, including my old colleague Adrian Sherling, who wrote all the questions and did all the question cards, and Greg, who runs the company that actually make the game. They all did loads more work than I did. But it's still gratifying when you come to my book signing to tell me how much you like the board game. Ideally, you like both. 7 minutes after 12 is the time. You can get hold of your own copy if you don't win one today at mysteryhour.co.uk. It's also available on the website named after the rainforest, and indeed at John Lewis. Jeff is in Epsom to kick off Mystery Hour. Question or answer, Jeff?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
Okay, right. When you get on an aircraft, before you take off and you're sitting, you're taxiing along the runway, the pilot, he or her does their checks. There's a noise. It sounds very similar to a lump of wood being sawn or a dog barking. It's a very distinctive.
It's a long dog bark. It's a long bark. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really
a grinding noise is what you're looking for, isn't it?
Grinding, soaring noise. Yeah. You hear it every time before you, as you're taxiing along the runway before you take off, and also when you land as well.
Are you sure it's when you're taxiing along the runway?
Well, when you're taxiing before you take off, they will carry out the checks there before you actually.
But that's when you get the noise.
Yeah.
Well, it's tootling along. It's still on the ground.
Still on the ground, you're probably going, I don't know, probably 10, 15 miles an hour max, I would imagine. And then... I actually did video of it when I was on the aircraft last year, but I've deleted it and I couldn't play it because you can't play it as well while you're on the phone.
No.
If I had kept it. But it's just something I was just curious to see what it is.
Cool. No, I think I recognise it. I flew for the first time in a long time on Saturday, so I do actually remember it. And it still takes you by surprise, particularly when you haven't flown for a while. You think, aye, that doesn't sound right. And then you remember, no, I think that happens all the time. So plain grinding noise for Jeff, please. 0345 60 60973. Yasmin's in Rickmansworth. Yasmin, question or answer?
Hi.
Hello.
It's a question.
Carry on.
Okay. I'm a bit nervous.
It's only me.
If you have a successful heart transplant from a pig into a person and it doesn't get rejected, would that affect the person's lifespan going forwards? So, like, as in, could they live as long as a normal person going forwards, or would it be limited to the lifespan of a pig?
This has only just happened, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I think there was one earlier this year.
I thought it was about a week ago. It happened in January, I think.
Yeah.
It only got reported.
But I think they only survived for a couple of months.
Yasmin. This is a horrible question.
I'm sorry.
But it's not your fault. I mean, it's, you know, we come to Mystery Hour on a Thursday expecting a bit of a lightening of mood.
Well, it could be a lightening of mood if the answer is really positive.
The answer's not positive.
Oh.
Because I read this story. I read it probably within the last couple of weeks. The bloke who got the pig heart, he only survived for 2 months, Yasmin.
But is that because the heart was rejected?
It's early days. No, they think he might have died of a pig virus.
Oh. But
yeah.
If they were to survive from the pig virus,
yeah.
So if everything went fine and everything with the heart was fine.
Yeah, okay, because otherwise they wouldn't have done it, would they?
Yeah.
They must have thought there was a chance of it. I mean, by life expectancy, you can't mean would he survive as long as he would have done if he hadn't had a transplant, because I don't think even human heart transplants do that necessarily, do they?
I have no idea.
Oh, boy. I don't know who's going to be qualified to answer this, Yasmin, given that there's only one surgeon in the world who's ever put a pig heart inside a human.
Who knows? He might be the one to ring in.
I'd tell you what, he gets a Ray Liotta if he does. A bit of everyday sexism there. We're both presuming it's a man that did it. It's like that old riddle, isn't it? Bartley Griffith is the surgeon's name. Turns out the pig's heart was infected with a porcine virus known as porcine cytomegalovirus, which may have contributed to his death. Okay, I mean, why do you want to know?
I don't know. I saw it. Someone asked the question
yeah?
in the comments of a YouTube video, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. Maybe that could be a good one for Mystery Hour.
Well, it is and it isn't. So we'll put it on the board and we'll try and find out for you. Would a pig heart give you as much lifespan as a human heart in the context of a transplant? There we go. That's the question that we're looking for. Oh, dear. 0345 606 0973. It's put me right off my lunch, that story. Engin is in cat. Is it Engin or Engin?
Engin.
I thought it would be.
You got it right the first time.
No, good. Engin's in Catford. Question or answer, Engin?
Question.
Yes.
Is there a difference in metals that can go into a microwave?
There's only one way to find out. What's stopping you?
Well, I've just gone and got a pie.
Yeah?
Like a chicken and mushroom pie, and it's in a foil tin.
Well, a posh one or a Frey Benton? No, not if it's in a foil tin. So what brand is it? Supermarket own or?
Am I allowed to say the name?
Yeah.
It's a pucker pie.
A pucker pie. I can buy them in shops now. That's quite a recent, that's only the last few years, I think, that they've. I've seen. And you can get the big ones. Is it a big one or a little one? It's a big one, isn't it?
I'd say it's a small one.
Is it? It's not. You can get the big ones as well, you know? You'd slice
them. It's from a chip shop. It's just from a chip shop.
It's a chip shop pie.
Yeah.
Did you get it from the chip shop or did you get it?
Cases,
what?
And the guy literally puts it in the microwave and zaps it and nothing happens. But yeah. I've done this in the past where I've had a jar of Nutella.
Yeah.
In the winter, it's a bit hard to spread, so I put it into the microwave.
I like your style.
And it has remains of the foil on the top of the jar, which ends up sparking and cracking away.
I think it's got as much to do with the microwave as it does with the foil, but I could be wrong. So that you're talking about the microwave in the chippy, are you?
Yeah, but it's a domestic.
How do you know?
It's a domestic microwave.
How do you know?
Because I understand this stuff, and I can see it's just a normal. High street brand home microwave. It's not a commercial one.
And so, yeah, I mean, I've just got a feeling that the whole sparking off in a microwave thing has gone down in recent years. Because it used to be, even if a plate had a bit of trim on it, it would kick off, wouldn't it? I could be completely...
Yeah, it has the gold...
That's
gold
right, leaf. But I don't think that does
yeah,
any...
Yeah, that as well.
Okay, I'll find out for you. So what metals go off in a microwave, really?
Yeah, or what makes metal not go off in a microwave?
You think it might be a treatment of the metal or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's plastic coated
could
or...
Could be, couldn't it? Well, unlikely, though, because a microwave goes in, doesn't it? It goes under the coating. That's how it cooks.
It goes through, yeah.
Yeah, so, it cooks from the inside
that's
to the outside.
I'm puzzled. The guy actually did it in front of me just now, and I'm like, I was waiting for sparks, and he said, no. He goes, it can be done.
But he didn't know why either.
It's foil.
He didn't know why either.
No.
Have you had the pie yet?
I've literally just finished it.
Oh, living the dream.
It's delicious.
Living the dream. You get the pie, and then you get through to Mystery Hour to ask a question about the pie you've just enjoyed.
Well, I try every week to get through.
I love it.
Obviously, I have to find the right question to get onto the show.
Oh, this is absolutely all day long. This is the right question. And do you know what? I'm not a chicken and mushroom man, really. But with the pucker pie, you're better off going for the chicken and mushroom, because much as it pains me to say this, and I don't want to upset anyone at pucker pies, with the beef pie can sometimes not hit the spot, the steak
and
pie.
And also, you don't know exactly how much beef's in there either.
Well, I don't mind about that, as long as it tastes nice, but it just...
Really?
Yeah, you just... Well, mate, if you're buying a pie in a chip shop, you're not... Have you ever had a saveloy?
No.
Oh.
I can't do it.
Oh,
just wrapping meat in plastic just doesn't
work.
It's
not plastic. It's a delicious sort of casing.
Yeah, it looks like plastic.
But with the steak pie or the steak and kidney, it does sometimes get quite gristly, which you'd never have that problem with a chicken and mushroom.
No, exactly. Yeah. And it's nice and moist as well, so it's all good.
Do you know what? I had lost my appetite completely after that conversation about pig viruses. And now, thanks to you, Engin, it's come back like a wrecking ball.
Oh, excellent.
Pies for lunch. Pies all round for lunch. Let's get him an answer to the question. What kicks off? What determines whether or not a metal starts sparking in a microwave? 0345 60 60 973 is the number that you need. 12:15.
With EasyJet Holidays, it's easy to find the perfect package holiday. Perhaps you're looking for a week in the Spanish sun?
Getting warmer.
Somewhere with 5-star resorts?
Getting pretty hot.
With a view of the beach.
You're boiling.
And delicious food?
Found it.
Find your perfect package holiday in Spain. Book now. Search EasyJet Holidays. Atoll protected.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 60 60 973.
It is 12:17. I don't take Mystery Hour questions generally by text or tweet, but I'll take this one. James, why has the Daily Mail run 9 front-page stories about Keir Starmer's Beer Gate lockdown breach and only one front-page story about the war in Ukraine since responding to Boris Johnson's Partygate fine with the dismissive headline, "Don't they know there's a war on?" I put that on the list. Why would they have done that? I mean, you can have a crack at that if you want. Or would you rather that we leave the politics out of Mystery Hour? Because it is usually an hour. Keith will probably not like this. You'd quite like to keep it clean, don't you? Keep it clean, lads. Thank you. All right. But it's out there now. Kyle's in Liverpool. Kyle, question or answer?
I've got an answer for you, James.
Bring it on, Kyle.
It's called The Barking Dog on an Airplane.
Is it? Is it actually called that? Or did you just...
Well, that's what everybody says.
Okay.
So, what it is, it's only on Airbus 320 aircraft, so the A319, A320, A321, EasyJet,
right.
For example.
Yeah.
So there's 3 hydraulic systems on an Airbus, green, blue and yellow. The blue one's powered up by the ground when it's connected up and that stays pressurised. The yellow one goes on when the first engine turns on or engine 2 turns on. And then when engine 1 turns on, it activates something called a PTU, a power transfer unit, which then sends the hydraulic fluid to and pressurizes the green line. And that's what makes that noise. It's the hydraulics pressuring up in the green line. And if you look out the window, if you're looking at the wings, you may see the aileron droop. And when you hear that noise, you see the aileron droop back up to normal position. My boyfriend used to be a cabin crew for EasyJet.
Oh, yeah.
And when he'd see people not listening to them doing the safety demonstration, he used to look out at these people for when that noise happened, because they soon shoot their heads up then and look at that, the cabin crew doing the safety demonstration. But yeah, it's the hydraulic system.
Great stuff. Qualifications?
I'm a simulator pilot, so it's a hobby, and we log onto a network and fly our Airbuses. I'd probably be able to land an Airbus than that guy in Miami.
I bet you would. How sophisticated is your kit? Do you just do it on a big computer, or have you kind of...
It's on the PC, gaming PC, but the software is absolutely to the point. If you mess up on an aircraft on the software, you're going down, basically.
No, I can believe it. But I know some people build like their own cockpits, don't they? Some people who play the...
Yeah, I've got the thrust levers and the joysticks and everything, but I don't earn enough money for the kit.
To kit out the spare room, like it was also it'd be a bit of a busman's holiday for your partner, wouldn't it? The last thing last thing he wants when he gets home is to have a cockpit in the spare room.
Well, he works for a big red company now, so and they fly Airbus. The bigger Airbuses, they have a power transfer unit, but it doesn't make that noise.
Ah, there you go. That is an incredible... That's one of the most detailed answers we've ever had, Carl. Well played, mate. Lovely stuff.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Vince is in Waterloo. Vince, question or answer?
It's an answer, James, but I've got to say, I'm more interested in the microwave answer now.
But you know, you've got a question.
I've always thought.
You can't...
It's a question.
What?
Given what's going on in the Ukraine, and I don't want to bring the place down.
No.
But do us in Britain still have an air raid siren system? Because I remember seeing those things on the corner of roofs. I'm about the same age as you.
Yeah.
And I can't remember seeing one for a long time. That's as simple as that.
No, I mean... I don't know, actually. I think they do. I think they... Don't they test them very, very occasionally?
Well, I remember them testing them.
Do you?
And I haven't heard them for a long time. And I'm a builder. I'll go on roofs.
Right.
I haven't seen one for a long, long time.
No, nor have I, actually. So, yeah, you could
I mean,
be
what are they going to do? Send out town criers with bells?
We've got widespread community. It'd be me. I'd be your air ride siren now, wouldn't I? It'd be me.
Do you think it would be radio?
Yeah, well, radio, telly, billboards, everything, internet. You could probably send a text to everybody's phone, can't you? Can't you do that these days? I don't know. I mean, I'll find out for you. And if someone's really clever, they might know what the alternative is if we don't still have them. I kind of presumed we did when you asked the question, but the more I think about it, the more I wonder whether we actually do. Because of, you know, everything has moved along. Well, look, we'll find out, all right? I'll find
Thank
out
you.
For you, Vince.
Brilliant.
All right. Take
Thank
it
you.
Easy, mate. Stay safe. Do we still have an air raid siren system? What determines... Why does some metal spark in the microwave while other metal doesn't? And is it possible that a pig heart could be as effective in a transplant as a human heart? Ian's in Jedburgh. Ian, question or answer?
I think it's kind of an answer.
Go on.
To do with the pig heart.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't really tell you about an entire heart, but I had a pig valve fitted in my heart, and its life expectancy was around 15 years.
Right.
But I managed to ruin it inside 7.
What did you do?
I had to get it replaced again.
But when you say ruin, you just mean unlucky.
Unlucky. It wore out. It calcified and leaked quite badly, so they had to replace it with another valve.
I mean, it's fascinating, but you're right. It's not really an answer to the question we were asking, is it?
I'm just going to suggest that there isn't much chance that the pig valve's going to last any longer than... Sorry, the pig heart's going to last any longer than the valve.
No. How commonplace is that? Is that a well-known thing?
Is your
aortic valve, is it? Is that the one?
It is. Yeah, that's right. That's the one that I had replaced. I think they usually do them now with cow tissues, supposedly.
Right.
Or you get a mechanical one like the one I've got just now.
Good grief. I'm going to give you a round of applause, obviously, but I don't know that the question has been comprehensively, conclusively answered, but I can't see how anyone's going to get any closer, can you?
Well, I don't really... Well, since the guy that you just said had the actual pig heart died after 2 months, I don't think it's going to get much closer than having part of the pig.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. And the only reason I'm not giving you a Brailleota is that this is actually quite a commonplace operation.
Yeah, it's quite... I mean, well, I've had 2 of them in 7 years, so...
Well, let's hope the new one lasts longer. Let's hope the new one lasts longer than the old one.
Hopefully so.
Top man. Round of applause for Ian, please. I mean, that is kind of definitive in terms of what might be available, unless the actual surgeon rings in or something like that. Right, Rory's in Horsham. Rory, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on, Rory.
So, for Christmas, we bought my little three-year-old boy a pirate ship, and we've been messing around with the way pirates supposedly speak. So, my question was, did pirates back in the days of Empire actually speak the way they... with their portrayed in popular culture, like yah-ha-ha and yah-ho-ho and shiver me timbers.
That's a lovely question, isn't it? Such a lovely question. And if they don't, well, then where on earth did that come from? Where does it come from? Does it come from Robert Louis Stevenson, maybe come from Treasure Island? But I can't remember how it was written down.
I did wonder that, but I wonder if they really did, if that was taken from experience somehow or made up.
Why would they speak differently from everyone else anyway? They're pirates. It's not like they were born pirates. Indeed. They've become pirates. I love that question. Yeah. I hope we get an answer. It's no guarantee that we will, but someone might know. Did pirates really talk like that? And if not, where did the idea that they do talk like that in popular culture come from? Rory, lovely question. 0345 606 0973 is the number you need. Matt's in Plymouth. Matt, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Hello.
Yeah, so basically the answer I have is that, yes, we do still have air raid sirens in places that still require them, particularly here in Plymouth, because we have Devonport Dockyard. They test their air raid siren every Monday at 11 o'clock.
Seriously?
Yes, seriously, every Monday at 11 o'clock we test the air raid siren and you can hear it.
Can you get them to wait a bit? Because I'm on at 11. Can you get them to do it a bit later? I don't want people getting distracted when they're tuning into the big show.
Well, it certainly, when I first moved to Plymouth over 20 years ago, it was quite alarming. It was like, I'm hearing an air raid siren. So they also are now moving towards a emergency text message alert system, which was tested this week in Plymouth.
Oh, was it
and
really?
Certain residents had a text message alert just to say this is an emergency alert system test.
So in answer to the question, do they still exist? The answer is yes, but are they on anything like the scale they were in previous generations, particularly, you know, wartime and shortly afterwards? Then no. This is a really, really good answer. And qualifications? Absolutely listen to it. I hear it every Monday. I hear it every Monday. Did you get one of the text messages?
I didn't, no. I don't think I was part of the test. They
not important enough, mate. Area. You're not important enough, mate.
Apparently not, no.
You can take your chances with the air raid.
Exactly.
Round of applause for Matt. What a lovely answer. Thank you. Vince will be pleased. Sam's in Manchester. Sam, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
So I'm just wondering if I like barbecue sauce and you don't like barbecue sauce, does it taste the same to us and you don't like that taste, or does it taste differently to different people? Because since my wife had COVID, she used to really like onions, and now she can't stand the taste of onions. They taste totally different.
Gosh, really?
So I'm wondering if there's an enzyme or something in her taste buds that's been changed, and therefore, you know, when someone tells me they don't like strawberries and I like strawberries, does it taste differently to them? Because strawberries are so nice.
I know.
why would you not like them?
Yeah, I like that question. Because I thought it would be, you know, some people like hot food. I'm thinking of spicy food. So obviously we taste differently because some people can't eat really spicy food, can they? And other people love it.
Yeah, and there's some things like sort of coffee, which I like. I can understand maybe why someone wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
But then there's other things that I just think it's just
strawberries being the best. How can anybody not like strawberries? Like them. Or chicken and mushroom pucker pies.
Yeah, even. Exactly.
No, you're on. I like that.
It's inconceivable that someone wouldn't like that.
So it's almost, is our biology different, isn't it? Or our chemistry? Is there something scientifically different that determines how things taste? Because otherwise, how did COVID work like that if it wasn't in some way?
No, there must be some chemical reaction in my wife's taste buds, which is now different. There must be.
So it's not that she's got no taste. She can still taste onions, but she doesn't like it anymore.
Yeah, and they don't taste the same as they did a year ago. It's not as though they taste the same, but she doesn't like it anymore. God. They taste totally different to her.
How bad is it? Would she not even eat onions in a sauce now, or just a sandwich?
No, she doesn't mind them if they're in sort of
cooked in a sauce,
spaghetti bolognese, yeah, good. That's a raw onions and a salad.
No, that's fine. I was going to say it'd be quite limiting if it was cooking as well, because so many dishes have it as the base. But I don't know why I'm getting so hungry during this mystery hour. That's a lovely question, Sam. We will find out for you. It is coming up to 12:30. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Amelia Cox is here now with your headlines.
What if positive change was only one design away? With Canva, you can design anything. Whether it's a presentation to share an idea, a video to launch a business, or a social post to start a conversation, millions of people are using Canva to redesign their own world. Some say design is beyond most people's reach. We say it's already in your hands. So, what will you design today? Start designing for free at canva.com.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
It is 12:17. I don't take Mystery Hour questions generally by text or tweet, but I'll take this one. James, why has the Daily Mail run 9 front page stories about Keir Starmer's Beer Gate lockdown breach and only one front page story about the war in Ukraine since responding to Boris Johnson's Partygate fine with the dismissive headline, "Don't they know there's a war on?" I put that on the list. Why would they have done that? You can have a crack at that if you want. Or would you rather that we leave the politics out of Mystery Hour? Because it is usually an hour. Keith will probably not like this. You'd quite like to keep it clean, don't you, Keith? Keep it clean, lads. Thank you. All right. But it's out there now. Kyle's in Liverpool. Kyle, question or answer?
I've got an answer for you, James.
Bring it on, Kyle.
It's called The Barking Dog on an Airplane.
Is it? Is it actually called that? Or did you just...
Well, it's that's what everybody says.
Okay.
What it is, it's only on Airbus 320 aircraft, so the A319, A320, A321, EasyJet, for example.
Yeah.
So there's 3 hydraulic systems on an Airbus, green, blue and yellow. The blue one's powered up by the ground when it's connected up, and that stays pressurised. The yellow one goes on when the first engine turns on, or engine 2 turns on. And then when engine 1 turns on, it activates something called a PTU, a power transfer unit, which then sends the hydraulic fluid to and pressurizes the green line. And that's what makes that noise. It's the hydraulics pressuring up in the green line. And if you look out the window, if you're looking at the wings, you may see the aileron droop. And when you hear that noise, you see the aileron droop back up to normal position. Story, my boyfriend used to be a cabin crew for EasyJet.
Oh, yeah.
And when he'd see people not listening to them doing the safety demonstration, he used to look out at these people for when that noise happened, because they soon shoot their heads up then and look at that, the cabin crew doing the safety demonstration. But yeah, it's the hydraulic system.
Great stuff. Qualifications?
I'm a simulator pilot, so it's a hobby, and we log onto a network and fly our Airbuses. I'd probably be able to land an Airbus than that guy in Miami.
I bet you would. How sophisticated is your kit? Do you just do it on a big computer, or have you
It's on the PC, gaming PC, but the software is absolutely to the point. If you mess up on an aircraft on the software, you're going down, basically.
No, I can believe it. But I know some people build like their own cockpits, don't they? People who play the...
Yeah, I've got the thrust levers and the joysticks and everything, but I don't earn enough money for the kit.
To kit out the spare room like it was also it'd be a bit of a busman's holiday for your partner, wouldn't it? The last thing he wants when he gets home is to have a cockpit in the spare room.
Well, he works for a big red company now, so and they fly Airbus. The bigger Airbuses, they have a power transfer unit, but it doesn't make that noise.
Ah, there you go. That is an incredible... That's one of the most detailed answers we've ever had, Carl. Well played, mate. Lovely stuff.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Vince is in Waterloo. Vince, question or answer?
It's an answer, James, but I've got to say, I'm more interested in the microwave answer now.
But you know, you've got a question.
I always thought.
You can't...
It's a question.
What? Yeah,
given what's going on in the Ukraine, and I don't want to bring the place down.
No.
But do us in Britain still have an air raid siren system? Because I remember seeing those things on the corner of Roos. I'm about the same age as you.
Yeah.
And I can't remember seeing one for a long time. That's as simple as that.
No, I mean, I don't know, actually. I think they do. I think they, don't they test them very, very occasionally?
Well, I remember them testing them.
Do you?
And I haven't heard them for a long time. And I'm a builder. I'll go on roofs.
Right.
I haven't seen one for a long, long time.
No, nor have I, actually. So, yeah, you could
I mean, what are they going to do? Send out town criers with bells?
We've got widespread community. It'd be me. I'd be your air ride siren now, wouldn't I? It'd be me.
Do you think it would be radio?
Yeah, well, radio, telly, billboards, everything, internet. You could probably send a text to everybody's phone, can't you? Can't you do that these days? I don't know. I mean, I'll find out for you. And if someone's really clever, they might know what the alternative is if we don't still have them. I kind of presumed we did when you asked the question, but the more I think about it, the more I wonder whether we actually do. Because of, you know, everything has moved along. Well, look, we'll find out, all right? I'll find out for you, Vince.
Brilliant.
All right. Take it easy, mate. Stay safe. Do we still have an air raid siren system? What determines... Why does some metal spark in the microwave while other metal doesn't? And is it possible that a pig heart could be as ineffective in a transplant as a human heart? Ian's in Jedburgh. Ian, question or answer?
I think it's kind of an answer.
Go on.
To do with the pig heart.
Oh, yeah.
So, I can't really tell you about an entire heart, but I had a pig valve fitted in my heart, and its life expectancy was around 15 years.
Right.
But I managed to ruin it inside 7.
What did you do?
I had to get it replaced again.
But when you say ruin, you just mean unlucky.
Unlucky. It wore out. It calcified and leaked quite badly, so they had to replace it with another valve.
I mean, it's fascinating, but you're right. It's not really an answer to the question we were asking, is it?
I'm just going to suggest that there isn't much chance that the pig valve's going to last any longer than... Sorry, the pig heart's going to last any longer than the valve.
No. How commonplace is that? I mean, is that a well-known thing?
It's your
aortic valve, is it? Is that the one?
It is. Yeah, that's right. That's the one that I had replaced. I think they usually do them now with cow tissues,
right,
supposedly. Or you get a mechanical one like the one I've got just now.
Good grief. I'm going to give you a round of applause, obviously, but I don't know that the question has been comprehensively, conclusively answered, but I can't see how anyone's going to get any closer, can you?
Well, I don't really... Well, since the guy that you just said had the actual pig heart died after 2 months, I don't think it's going to get much closer than having part of the pig.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. And the only reason I'm not giving you a Brailleota is that this is actually quite a commonplace operation.
Yeah, it's quite... I mean, well, I've had 2 of them in...
Well, there you go.
6 years, 7 years, so...
Well, let's hope the new one lasts longer. Let's hope the new one lasts longer than the old one.
Hopefully so.
Top man. Round of applause for Ian, please.
I mean,
that is kind of definitive in terms of what might be available, unless the actual surgeon rings in or something like that. Rory's in Horsham. Rory, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on, Rory.
So, for Christmas, we bought my little 3-year-old boy a pirate ship, and we've been messing around with the way pirates supposedly speak. So my question was, did pirates back in the days of Empire actually speak the way they're portrayed in popular culture, like yah-ha-ha and yah-ho-ho and
shiver me timbers?
All that fun stuff, yeah.
That's a lovely question, isn't it? Such a lovely question. And if they don't, well, then where on earth did that come from? Where does it come from? Does it come from Robert Louis Stevenson, maybe come from Treasure Island? But I can't remember how it was written down.
I did wonder that, but I wonder if they really did, if that was taken from experience somehow or made up.
Why would they speak differently from everyone else anyway? They're pirates. It's not like they were born pirates.
Indeed.
They've become pirates. I love that question. Yeah. I hope we get an answer. It's no guarantee that we will, but someone might know. Mm-hmm. Did pirates really talk like that? And if not, where did the idea that they do talk like that in popular culture come from? Rory, lovely question. 03456060973. Is the number you need. Matt's in Plymouth. Matt, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry
Hello.
On, Matt. Hello.
Yeah, so basically the answer I have is that, yes, we do still have air raid sirens in places that still require them. particularly here in Plymouth, because we have Devonport Dockyard. They test their air raid siren every Monday at 11 o'clock.
Seriously?
Yes, seriously, every Monday at 11 o'clock, we test the air raid siren, and you can hear
them
it.
Can you get them to wait a bit? Because I'm on at 11. Can you get them to do it a bit later? I don't want people getting distracted when they're tuning into the big show.
Well, it certainly, when I first moved to Plymouth over 20 years ago, it was quite alarming. It was like, I'm hearing air raid siren.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and they also are now moving towards a emergency text message alert system, yeah, which was tested this week in Plymouth.
Oh, was it really?
So certain residents had a text message alert just to say this is an emergency alert system test.
So in answer to the question, do they still exist, the answer is yes, but are they on anything like the scale they were in previous generations, particularly, you know, wartime and shortly afterwards? Then no. This is a really, really good answer. And qualifications? Absolutely listen to it. I hear it every Monday. I hear it every Monday. Did you get one of the text messages?
I didn't, no. I don't think I was part of the test. They
not important enough, mate. Area. You're not important enough, mate.
Apparently not, no.
You can take your chances with the, with the air raid.
Exactly.
Round of applause for Matt. What a lovely answer. Thank you. Vincent. No worries. Vince will be pleased. Sam's in Manchester. Sam, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
So I'm just wondering if I like barbecue sauce and you don't like barbecue sauce, does it taste the same to us and you don't like that taste, or does it taste differently to different people? Because since my wife had COVID, she used to really like onions, and now she can't stand the taste of onions. They taste totally different.
Gosh, really?
So I'm wondering if there's an enzyme or something in her taste buds that's been changed, and therefore, you know, when someone tells me they don't like strawberries and I like strawberries, does it taste differently to them? Because strawberries are so nice.
I know.
Why would you not like them?
Yeah, I like that question. Because I thought it would be, you know, some people like hot food. I'm thinking of spicy food. So obviously we taste differently because some people can't eat really spicy food, can they? And other people love it.
Yeah, and there's some things like sort of coffee, which I like. I can understand maybe why someone wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
But then there's other things that I just think it's just
strawberries being the best.
How
can anybody not like strawberries?
Like
or chicken and mushroom pucker pies.
Yeah, even. Exactly.
No, you're on. I like
it's
that.
It's inconceivable that someone wouldn't like
so
that.
So it's
taste.
Almost, is our biology different, isn't it? Or our chemistry? Is there something scientifically different that determines how things taste? Because otherwise, how did COVID work like that if it wasn't in some way?
No, there must be some chemical reaction in my wife's taste buds, which is now different. There must be
so it's not that she's got no taste. She can still taste onions, but she doesn't like it anymore.
Yeah, and they don't taste the same as they did a year ago. It's not as though they taste the same, but she doesn't like it anymore. They taste totally different to her.
How bad is it? Would she not even eat onions in a sauce now, or just a sandwich?
No, she doesn't mind them if they're in
cooked in a sauce,
spaghetti bolognese,
yeah, good.
But
that's
raw onions on a salad.
No, that's fine. I was going to say, it'd be quite limiting if it was cooking as well, because so many dishes have it as the base. But I don't know why I'm getting so hungry during this mystery hour. That's a lovely question, Sam. We will find out for you. It is coming up to 12:30. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Amelia Cox is here now with your headlines.
With EasyJet Holidays, it's easy to find the perfect package holiday. Perhaps you're looking for a week in the Spanish sun?
Getting warmer.
Somewhere with 5-star resorts?
Getting pretty hot.
With a view of the beach?
You're boiling.
And delicious food?
Found it.
Find your perfect package holiday in Spain. Book now. Search EasyJet Holidays. At all protected.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
We've done the plane noise, we've done the pig transplant, we haven't done the metal in microwaves, we've done the air raid sirens, although bad news for Matt, mate. I mean, another steward's inquiry. It's not an air raid siren. It is at 11:30, not 11 o'clock, as Matt said. But it is actually on account that it's a nuclear accident alarm on account of the nuclear submarines being repaired in the dockyard. Testing is part of the safety justification. That comes from Tony in Plymouth. Qualifications, I work in the dockyard on the submarines. Pretty strong. You know, the mystery hour sometimes, you just get the impression everyone's listening. Like, literally everyone. Or at least somebody everywhere, perhaps. So nice one, Tony. It's all good. Matt was kind of right. There are still sirens around, but they're not air raid sirens. That makes sense, doesn't it? Otherwise, there'd be loads of places where you should be having air raid sirens. I should have thought about that. Inverted colours. Why do you still see some images when you close your eyes? Do people taste... How come some people don't like strawberries? Are they tasting something different from those of us that do? We've done the pirate. Why do pilots always sit on sheepskin covers? And why do we say first and second when they don't bear any resemblance to one and two, but as you carry on down the ladder, it's third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth? That's the lot, I think, as far as I can tell. Ryan is impressed. And Ryan, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on.
So it's the pilot seat cover question.
Is it true? Is it true? They do sit on sheepskin, do they?
Yeah, they do. So there's a number of reasons. The big one is that they maintain temperature. So whether it's hot, cold in the flight deck, the seat kind of stays the same temperature. Mm. Hence, sheep have them as coats, I suppose. They're also hypoallergenic, so they won't irritate a pilot's skin. And they don't melt. So if there's a fire in the flight deck, the seat cover won't catch fire. And when they do melt, they don't stick to anything.
Qualifications?
I'm an airline pilot for one of the UK's largest leisure carriers.
So it's a tradition as well, presumably. There'd be something modern you could use that would fulfil all those criteria.
It's a lot more common on Boeing aeroplanes.
Why?
Because I think Americans like their traditions a bit more.
Okay.
Obviously, the Airbus is a bit more modern, and they probably come up with something a bit more nifty. And
I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. And you're perfectly qualified. Where are you off to next? You know,
I'm getting married in 2 days' time, so I've got 2 weeks off, and then I'm off to Larnaca at the end
of it. Oh, friend. Well, best of luck. Getting married on Saturday.
That's the one.
Is it on schedule, or did you put it off during lockdown?
Delayed by 3 years.
Oh boy! And you're still together.
Yeah. We are.
That's a relief. Yeah. That's a relief because they don't give the deposit back that easily.
No, we've been really lucky. They've just moved the date.
Oh, lovely stuff. Can we give Ryan a round of applause for his brilliant answer? We haven't got any suitable music ready, have we, to give him a... What? Yeah, go on, give him a hallelujah. That's just to get you in the mood for the music on Saturday, right? Probably not having anything like that. Amy is in Bath. Amy, question or answer?
I've got an answer.
I need to press the button. I can still... Sorry, carry on, Amy.
I've got an answer to the colour after image.
Yeah.
So it's also sometimes called the waterfall illusion for movement, and it's about basically your neurons getting tired because you've been staring at the colour black for too long. Okay. So then when you look away, they go, I'm too tired, but all the other colours that you weren't staring at are obviously still at a normal activation level, so then you see the opponent colour instead because the black ones have got too tired.
It's the fatigued neurons.
It's fatigued neurons, yeah. And the waterfall illusion is the same, but with motion. So when you're watching at the end of a cinema and you see the credits going up,
yeah,
and then you look to a blank wall, you'll see downward motion.
You will.
And that's because your up
that's
neurons
Tetris.
Have been firing.
That's Tetris.
Yeah, that's the Tetris.
I would rename it. I'd rename it for the 21st century. Yeah. Call it the Tetris. Actually, it's the late 20th century, I think, if anything. Oh, I love that. What are your qualifications?
A psychology degree.
And that counts as psychology, does it?
It's all about perception, so because it's about how your brain and neurons are firing and obviously how you perceive things. Same as illusion. You know, any illusion is actually about perception and in the brain.
Round of applause for Amy, please. Thank you, Amy. Lewis is in Putney. Lewis, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on, Lewis.
So it's an expansion of the answer on the taste and the smell.
Yeah, go on.
So basically, it's genetic. The reason some people do taste things differently to other people, the most obvious one being coriander, people have
some people can't abide it. It tastes like soap, doesn't it, to some people? About 20% of the population, I think.
Exactly. And it's different genes that have a different receptor which picks it up more acutely, so they taste more soapy.
Yeah.
So the reason for this is because, as with many tastes and genetic variability, it's evolutionary advantageous. So hypothetically, with the bitter taste, because he mentioned coffee, I think.
Yes.
Bitter comes about from being able to taste poison.
Okay.
And if hypothetically I have a variation of a gene, which means I can detect a certain poison more from, a plant, and then everyone in our population who doesn't have it eats that plant, they die, my children live on. And I take over the world.
Look at that. Yes, exactly.
So it's genetic variability, basically.
And so that might even apply to a strawberry, because someone not liking a strawberry is not tasting what you and me and Sam would be tasting.
Yeah, because, well, genetic variability is happening all the time.
In all sorts of ways.
And if it's advantageous, it will propagate more. If it's negligible, like with a strawberry, which isn't poisonous,
Yeah. It's
not necessarily going to negatively select against you. You just won't like the strawberries. But if hypothetically...
The graph would stay quite flat, really, on it being passed
down.
Well,
it depends on food, because if suddenly if food became scarce and there was only strawberries, those people would die out.
So good at this. Every time you ring in, I sit here feeling educated. I like that. What would be the most remarkable food? Would it be a strawberry if you had to pick the food that you simply can't believe someone doesn't like?
Oh, now there's a question.
Isn't it? A strawberry would be up there, wouldn't it? A really nice, juicy, ripe strawberry.
It's a pretty good flavour, I've got to say.
Yeah.
It's one of my favourites.
It's up there for most people.
I'm thinking someone who doesn't like sticky toffee pudding, I always think it's strange.
You don't like sticky... Oh, you think that is strange. I think that's strange. Unless it's the texture. I mean, the flavour. Anyway, we digress. Lewis, have yet another round of applause for yet
Thank
another
you.
Brilliant contribution. 12:55 is the time. It was subsistence rations was the phrase I was looking for, approximately... 2 hours and 50 minutes ago. No, you didn't. Subsistence rations is what your man Lee Anderson thinks people should be expected to survive on. Melanie is in Bow. Melanie, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Oh, you're pushing your luck. It's 5-1. Go on.
Uh-huh. Right, so very simply, the money that we use, sterling, with the Queen's head on, notes and coins, when she passes away, what happens... Do the notes slowly get taken out of circulation?
Yes.
Or do they just sort of basically stop them? They've already got Charles on the next notes.
Yeah, they just carry on as normal. They're just all the new stuff has Charles's bonce on it, and then then all the old stuff would be taken out of circulation at the same rate that it would have been anyway.
Oh, so they still keep them for like many years, basically.
Yeah, I mean, if you depending on you're too young like me, but you could still get. What was the Queen's dad called? King George.
George.
Yeah, you could still get King George coins around well into the 50s, I think.
Oh, I'm not that old.
Or 60s, I can't remember. But yeah, the answer is yes, they do.
Oh, right, okay.
But so what else are they going to do? Demand that everybody brings all their money to the bank and swap it, Melanie?
I wasn't sure if they could have like started to discontinue them, so to speak. And,
They will. They'll knock it on the head overnight. And then they'll take it out of circulation, coins, and so you'll be using the coins for quite a long time after.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, I didn't expect them to be withdrawn straight away, to be honest.
No.
But equally, I didn't know if there'd be like a use-by date on them.
No, none of that. Round of applause for me. Qualifications, we've had it before, and I think it's in the board game, actually. I think this question is in the board game. I could be wrong. Mark's in Barrow-in-Furness with yet another sparkling contribution. And Mark is a linguist, so I'm going to say he's going to go for the why do we say first and second when we go on to say third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh and eighth, Mark.
Yeah, there's a word for this. It's called suppletion. And it's what happens when you get in an early stages of a language before it gets fully standardized. You may get different parts of the same word from different sources. So first is from the same root as Greek protos, as in lots of words beginning with proto, oh, protozoic, yeah. And so on.
Prototype.
Second is from a Latin root meaning following, coming after the first one, after number one. Now, what then happens is that when a language gets standardized...
Sequitur, as in following, sequitur.
Yeah, yeah, so the same music. And when a language gets more standardized, that kind of thing tends to get evened out, and you get the same root for all the parts of the same word.
Right.
But with the very common words, very common and short words, you use them so much that you're very familiar with it, and you don't feel the need to replace them by more regular forms.
Oh, perfect.
This happens as well with the verb to be. Like, you've got I am, but yeah. You are, she yeah. is. And you get it with go and went. With essence.
Well, it should be I are, you are, he are.
And in Afrikaans, it's gone like that. But in English, it hasn't got to that point.
Oh, you're
Greek
so good
is absolutely full of it.
It is.
Verbs in Greek have got this. And a good example with numbers is Russian sorok, which means 40. And it has nothing to do with the words for 4 or 10.
Oh, really? Where does it come from? Do you know?
So, you know, it does, the little bits of it pop up, but mostly it happens with the very common words.
I love this one. Qualification, supreme linguist extraordinaire. Yet another round of applause.
Thank you very much. Thank you,
Mark.
Glad to help.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. It's about one a week at the moment. Who's going to win it this week? Poor old Engin with his... I'm tempted to give it to Engin because he didn't get an answer. I'm going to do that. I'm going to give it to Engin because he's had a pie. What a day. He's had a pie. He's had a pucker pie. He's got on Mystery Hour, and now he's won the bloody board game. Engin, mate, this is like Christmas for you. So Engin is the winner of this week's board game for his question about microwaves and metals that did not get answered. I think, according to my notes, every other question was. That's it from me for another day. Sheila Fogarty's up next.